Hello and welcome to the Dirty Lie podcast, a podcast about facts, figures, and weird things from the past. I'm your host, Adeswa, and I'm here with...
Hi, I'm TMT. Also, the video we just took, I just added you on IG so you can repost it or... what do you do on IG?
You repost?
You repost it on your story, so... Because that's what people do. How you guys doing? Welcome to the pod.
Welcome to the podcast. Me and my bestie are... here to
talk
to
Miss Westy.
Miss Westy. Don't try to test me. It's gonna get messy.
I think even Northwest is doing better than Drake right now.
Yeah, she's doing better than most people, I think. I think most 11 or 10 year olds are doing better than most people in the world.
That is actually true because they don't need to know anything about what's going on.
They do not.
Unlike us. And we're here to talk to you about some things that are going on, including and not limited to Mungo Park. I will just tell you, today's topic is Mungo Park.
Okay. I think I know who Mungo Park is. River Niger, maybe?
Yes.
Sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know some things. Like, I've just heard this so many times. I've heard Nigerians make, like, bad Mungo Park jokes. And I'm like, okay, I'm sure, yeah. You know, when you just infer what its situation is based on context?
Yeah.
And nothing else.
Like, the name Mungo Park, to me, while we were growing up, always just seemed like a funny name.
Yeah.
But it's like his real name.
Was he a white guy?
Yeah, he's Scottish.
Mungo. Manga. That's weird.
It's M-U-N-G-O. And, like, his dad's name was Mungo Park, and his son's name was also Mungo Park.
Mungo Park the Third.
Why would you want that name to continue on? Sorry, I'm just joking.
Like, if you put me through that name, I'm putting other people through it. It's like NYSE.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Bill's character.
Rumble Honey is the name of a child on TikTok.
Rumble Honey.
Yes, and her brother's name is Slim Easy.
Are they white?
They do have like a quarter black in them, but yes, primarily like...
Are they white, trash white?
No, Mormon white, which is even... I think the dad's name is like something, Lucky Blue.
Is she the girl that makes like...
Yes.
Bubble gum.
From scratch.
From scratch, yeah.
Which I genuinely love. I think she is... I saw a TikTok thesis saying that I think this lady is one of the greatest comedians of our generation. Like, people just don't understand. For her to use that deadpan voice and yeah, I love it from her, honestly. Genuinely, people hate on her comments. I love it.
Yeah. I like it because she's just so stoic. Like, she doesn't ignore them. She doesn't respond. She doesn't respond positively or negatively. She does make her content.
Bro.
It's like the comment section doesn't exist in her universe.
And I love that. Okay, so let's go and talk about Mungo Park so I can run to Arise and talk about Tinubu.
Okay, I just pulled up a picture of him. He's quite handsome.
Mungo?
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Tinubu for a second. Where is our president? You know, like, let me say something. I just can't really keep talking about where is our president. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had this conversation more than once since
Coachella.
He's been elected. He's been elected and he has done a little disappearing act more than once.
But you know who else did a little disappearing act? Our last president.
Muhammadu Buhari.
Yeah.
When we know where he is, which he would just be sick in London.
We just didn't see or hear from him for, it was 90 days, I think. Exactly. Yeah. Or 91 or 92, yeah.
That sounds like a biblical thing.
It was insane.
I mean, I feel like we just knew he was in London and he was sick, but we're just like, is he alive or not? Is he dying? Are we going to have another one of those situations?
We did have one of those, that's true.
But okay, let's talk about Mungo Park. I have three facts for you and you have to determine what is true and what is the dirty lie.
Okay.
Fact one.
So
Mungo Park discovered the River Niger.
Mm-hmm.
Fact two. Mungo Park really loved black people. Africans thought they were like whole human beings.
Right. So he
was like, they're human just like us. That's that too. He was not racist.
He was not racist, man.
Like the other men of his time, he was like, those are human beings, guys. Right. And fact three, Mungo Park died on the River Niger.
Jeez. Okay.
Did he discover it? Did he love Africans? And did he die on the River Niger?
Where's River Niger?
I really don't want people to hear you say that.
Right. Okay.
Because we do know that River Niger and River Benue flow through Nigeria.
Right.
And the confluence of River Niger and River Benue, where they meet. Do you know where that is?
Yeah.
Where?
The meeting point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where is it?
Mm-hmm.
Deltas? I don't know.
Lokoja? What are you talking about? Deltas?
Lokoja is where the... Is that... I thought Lokoja was just a dam. Oh, Kanji is a dam. Are they both dams?
Lokoja is a city in Nigeria.
Right.
It is the capital city of Kogi State, in fact.
Oh, that's where Fab is from.
It is. Where Fab is not from Lokoja, though.
Oh, how do you know?
I just, first of all, know a lot of things about our friends.
Should I call him and ask him?
I also, second of all, know a lot of things about
Nigeria.
That is true, but Kogi State first. Amina is from Lokoja.
Mm-hmm.
And Fab is from a different area. He's closer to where Dino Mela is from,
okay,
which is not Lokoja.
That explains a lot. They have like a thing. Yeah. I can't see. You can see it, right? Like in their eyes.
There's a Yoruba section. Yeah. And I think they're called the Owls. Might be a specific subtribe of Yoruba people.
Okay.
And yeah, Fab is like a stone throw away from where Dino is from, which is Ayeto.
Yeah.
I asked Dino where he was from, and he said the U.S. of A.
Fair enough.
The United States of Ayeto.
Have you dropped that interview yet?
I have.
Okay.
It's audio only.
Yeah.
So people can go shake their booty to that. Wait, the facts. Wait, which one did you say was a lie? We haven't even...
I haven't decided yet. So my options are: one, he discovered River Niger.
Yeah.
Two, he wasn't racist. And three, he died in River Niger.
Mm-hmm.
I think he died in River Niger... He discovered River Niger. I feel like that might just be like a Nigerian-ism that probably wasn't or was. He wasn't racist. What decade, what century was this? Was this the 20th century or 19th?
This is like 1700s.
Mm-hmm. I doubt he wasn't racist. I'm just going to say he discovered River Niger as a dirty lie.
He discovered River Niger as a dirty lie.
Yeah, that's just my guess.
Okay.
Guess.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
You're correct. They do teach you, or did teach you. I don't even know if they still teach.
Yeah. I didn't learn about Mungo Park growing up.
I think in secondary school, I was taught that Mungo Park discovered the River Niger.
Was this geology or
I think history? This is like history.
Right. I didn't do a history module in school.
I feel like, I mean, I was only in Nigerian school system for about 2 years. They removed history in 2007. Okay, this is after. I don't know. I truly don't know. I do remember it being a thing of like, Mungo Park discovered the River Niger. Yeah. It was an early Nigerian curricula.
My two options were, was the Nigerian education system wrong? Or was a white man in the 1700s not racist? Which one? It's not a hard choice.
He wasn't racist. It's true, which is crazy.
He wasn't racist.
He wasn't.
So, what was wrong or right?
You were right. The truth is that he did think Africans were whole human beings.
He did?
Yeah.
I thought you said he didn't. He.
Oh, you thought I was saying he wasn't racist.
Yeah.
Like, so that him being racist would be true.
Yes.
No, that's not the way our questions work. I gave a statement.
Right.
And I said, which statement is a lie? And the statement I said was that he wasn't racist. You thought... I see why your brain tricked you there, but maybe it tricked you into winning. But yeah, he wasn't racist. Okay. Mungo Park did not discover the River Niger. And
wow, it's been so long since I've done this, because I forgot it was two truths, not two lies.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Girl.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Like, it's been so long.
Yeah.
Did you miss me?
A little bit.
I missed you.
Bring me back. Bring me back more often.
I will bring you back as often as possible.
Okay.
So
he was... Okay, which one do you want to start with?
Should we start with his discovery or not?
Yeah, discovery sounds good.
Okay. Mungo Park was a Scottish explorer.
Hi, I'm Mungo Park. That was terrible.
Is that a Scottish accent?
What's a Scottish accent, lass?
He is known for his discoveries of the River Niger, but actually... He's known to be like this, maybe one of the pioneers of this new wave of European explorers, right? And helping Europeans map out the interlands of Africa. Because at that point in time, they were focused on the coast.
Mm.
And they hadn't really had people go into like the, is it the hinterlands or the hinterlands, mm-hmm. right? Go up inside. And he's the part of the new wave. I will use the word European explorer, but I feel like the word explorer it's a weird word to use because they were not just exploring. I feel like they were surveyors. They were spies. Paving
the way for colonialism.
They were literally like mapping and they were paid by governments. Like, so exploring makes it seem like they're just a young lads like, going like to go discover something for fun.
Yeah, like it's, what's that word?
It's like a military altruistic. Expedition. Yeah, it wasn't altruistic. They did it for fame. They did it for pay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always like mostly supported by maybe the military, the navy, and like the royal houses. Like, it's like government. It's like spying, really. Mm-hmm. But we just call them explorers because mm-hmm. they made it seem like that, and Hollywood has, you know.
Yeah. But they've romanticized it.
Yeah. So he was part of something called the African Association, and it's kind of the beginning of, and it's the Association for Promoting and Discovery of the Interior Parts of Africa. And it was founded in London on the 9th of June, 1788. And it was a British club that was dedicated to the exploration of Western Africa, right? Mungo Park he was super famous because he came down to Western Africa, and around 1796, he explored the Upper Niger River area.
Mm.
And then he now wrote a very popular book called Travels in the Interior Districts of Africa.
Okay.
Now, the thing about this book is that a lot of it is fan fiction.
Right.
Like, included in this book, very famously, is something he called the Mountains of Kong, in which he said that there is a mountain range located in West Africa, beginning near the source of the Niger River and spanning the majority of the African continent from east to west. So first of all, he made up a mountain range, and it was featured in maps of Africa.
Nice.
Through to like the late 1800s. Like, he just made this up.
Drake made up a daughter.
Did you say Drake made up a daughter or Kendrick made up a daughter?
Drake made up the rumor and fed it to Kendrick.
I just don't believe Drake does not play chess. That nigga's playing chess.
Have you not seen the video of first person shooter? He does play chess.
Oh my gosh. Drake is just yarning a lot of dust. And I'm just going to say, I so thoroughly enjoyed Kendrick dissing Drake, especially because he's just like, it's not that deep, mm-hmm. but I don't like you.
A lot of people don't like him. I think I've realized a lot of people do not like that man.
And it's something to be said, especially because there's so many people in this life who want to be liked so badly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't like you, and that's okay. I've gotten so okay with people not liking me. And I think as a child, like, I don't know, I would
interact with
things. Yeah, I'm also a firstborn. I'm the firstborn of many.
Yeah.
If you don't like me, that's fine.
Mm.
It's actually fine. Like, you can't like everybody. If everybody liked me, there would be something wrong with me. Because I don't like everybody. Do you like every food? Do you like every drink?
I don't like plantain.
Why?
I have a song called I Don't Like Plantain for some marriage. I'll play it for you one day. But yeah, you can't like everyone.
You can't like everyone. But yeah, so Mungo Park created a mountain range in Africa. But he also had a theory. He had a theory that the River Niger and the River Congo merged to become the same river and like spanned the whole of Africa. And that was like his theory that he was trying to prove.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that is not true. River Niger goes into the Bight of Benin and Atlantic Ocean, whatever, but it doesn't touch the River Congo. So yeah, he comes in Scotland. He's like an apprentice to be like a medical doctor / surgeon. He was the seventh child in a family of 13. His father's name was also Mungo Park.
Mm-hmm.
And he grew up in a place I can't pronounce. Like every single one. So it's Selkirkshire.
Mm.
Scotland, at Fool's Chills on the Yarrow Water near Selkirk.
Sounds like something from Lord of the Rings.
Like what? He grew up on a tenant farm. He went to the University of Edinburgh.
Where he studied medicine and botany.
No, he grew up on a tenant farm.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he was...
Farmers were rich back then, though.
True. He grew up on a tenant farm that his father rented from the Duke of Buccleuch.
Don't want to hear that word again.
I guess they were... When his dad died, he received £3,000, in which in 2021 money would be about over a quarter of £1,000,000. So I guess he was...
How's his first one, baby? Yeah.
His parents originally wanted him to be a minister in the church, but he went to study medicine and botany. And after that, he decided to be an explorer.
Mm.
And his first journey to the interior of Africa was in September of 1794. He is credited as being the first white man to reach the River Niger.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the whole Mungo Park discovered the River Niger thing, is because he's the first white man to reach the River Niger. But how did he reach there?
He was probably guided by some people.
He paid guides.
Yeah, some guides who had never been there before, to make sure that he was the first. They were like, "Yo, that's for Mongo. Leave it alone."
He paid guides. Particularly two in particular are very important. Something that's super funny about this age of African exploration that is going on in England is that the Arabs had been here, seen that, done that. They had designated trade routes.
You had
very popular Arab people from like the Arabic region who had written extensively about the hinterlands of Africa, about the trading routes, about the different empires, even tracing the fall and rise of different empires. So like the Mayan Empire, the early empires, when they will rise, they will fall. And because of the trade relationship that you had between the Arab region and the Africa, both Northern and Sub-Saharan Africa, they had very clear understanding of like their diplomatic relationships, their trade routes.
Differences in languages, differently. Yeah.
Yes. And so you even have Muhammad Ibn Said. I can't remember the last part of his name. I know that's the first part. I know there's the last part, but I think he's called the father of algebra. He also wrote extensively about the hinterlands of Africa before this region, like the trading systems, their hierarchies, the different empires. And you also have some explorers, like, so the closest Europeans came to this was like, you did have people from southern Spain and Portugal, because you know those eras, like before the Portuguese partly decided to try and circumnavigate, because you know they were fighting each other up there, and you had like the Spain and the Portuguese already having trade relationships with people in Northern Africa, and they were like, where are they getting all these things from? And they're like, they're getting it from Sub-Saharan Africa, but you can't really cross the desert, especially as a white man, you're gonna die. So they decided to circumnavigate, because where was all the gold coming from? All the spice? It was from us, particularly gold. They say sand.
I said, listen, I got. Have you seen Dune? No, you ever seen Dune?
I haven't seen Dune.
It's a Dune reference.
Okay.
Because spice, desert people.
I see. Okay. Yeah. We had a lot of gold and other natural resources, which like till today, they're still mining from us. So obviously it was a lot. You also had the great empires of, what's that guy? Mansa Musa. Like
Malian. Was he Malian?
Mm-mm. I think it's like the Timbuktu appear. Anyways,
Timbuktu.
It's Malian. Yeah. Who literally crashed the price of gold because of how much gold he gave out on his way to Mecca for Hajj.
That's destroying economies.
That's crazy, man. Like, it was really chaotic. Do you know how much gold can you give out to crash the world economy?
I mean, giving out gold also. Like, give out something else. Give out spices, man.
And there was a lot of talk about, like, the Hausa Empire. I mean, they'll call Hausa, like, Busa or Hosa. There was so many things, but it's basically, like, what modern day Hausa people should the old empires. A lot of things I found interesting was just also the nature of trade, diplomacy, and relationships before the slave trade.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anytime we talk about the slave trade, I think sometimes we talk about it in terms of
not just the transatlantic,
but like the effect of the transatlantic. We think about the loss of lives and stuff like that. But like, I feel like we don't consider, like, I think it's 12 million, over 12 million people were taken away from mm-hmm. Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But also the wars that resulted in that, in like the need to capture slaves, mm. also possibly killed more than 12 million people within, like, never left the shores of Africa.
Of course.
And also that need for bodies, right, for people, for capturing, also destroyed, like, communities, community trust, and empire.
And this probably desensitized us, the way we look at each other.
Yeah.
In a way that probably affects us till now.
Yes, I read a study on this and a history paper when I was in university. And it talks about how, and it, like, the thesis was basically that people from coastal regions in Africa have much less trust than people from and like they draw the line to slavery. It's mm-hmm. like people who basically experience the thing more severely have, like, historically more severely, have significant deep distrust issues,
like inherited trauma and stuff like that.
Yeah, but even just look at us in Nigeria, like, how many of us can say we trust the regular Nigerian, like, next to us? Like, you're good, like, even if you don't think, we're a very low trust society.
This really has nothing to do with trust, but it also does. This morning, Adesua sent us a screenshot from her Uber. Basically, Adesua ordered coffee from this place in Ikoyi, and this Uber guy is bringing it. And he says to her, and I quote, "I hope there's breakfast waiting for me."
No, he said, what did he say exactly? I'm looking for it, because I was like...
It's the most bizarre message I've ever seen. I had to clarify with Adesua, like...
He said, okay. Hope you are coming with my breakfast food?
And I asked Adesua, I had to clarify because I didn't understand what she was saying. When she just posted the screenshot. So I said, there's what I say. I said, wait, hold on.
You said sometimes your life is...
Is that an Uber? Adesua said, yes. I said, expecting food. She said, yes. And I replied, your life is objectively worse than mine. Because never... In my life. You know that famous quote, that means you sleep there.
Yeah.
This is worse than that. Like, this is...
Maybe I'll post it to Twitter and see what people have to say. Because the worst part about this, I wish I took the whole screenshot of the whole interaction. The worst part about this is that I replied with a question mark. And he sends me a whole bunch of emojis. Like,
what emojis? Like, food?
I feel like the conversation is gone.
Oh no, I hope it's there. Because that's amazing.
Oh man, you can't find the conversation after, I think.
Oh.
Send me a whole bunch of emojis.
Like, after. Yam and stew.
I just think this is happening because I'm a woman. But let's go back to Mungo Park. So yeah.
But yeah, that's why we don't trust other Nigerians.
We have a very low trust, and like, then we have coups and instability and economic issues and then everything since then. But we had significant trade routes. But by the time Mungo Park is coming, England has decided to stop the slave trade. So slave trade is ending,
mm-hmm.
right? And he comes to Africa. He reaches the Gambia River in June of 1795, and he ascended it 200 miles to a British trading station named Pisania.
Okay.
And on the 2nd of December, accompanied by two local guides, he started for the unknown interior, unknown quote-unquote.
Right.
And he chose the route crossing the Upper Senegal Basin, blah, 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 blah. Now, it was a difficult journey. He's a white guy. There's malaria. There's heat. There's dysentery. There's actually, like, coming in contact with local people and not really understanding the language. At one point in time, he was imprisoned
mm-hmm.
by a chief for 4 months. And
she was just like, what?
He was imprisoned. He escaped. And apparently he escaped alone with nothing but his horse and his pocket compass. Again, I just don't believe this part of the story. I just don't believe this. But according to, he escaped with nothing but his horse and his compass. And he then rides and reaches the River Niger. You see, this very important part of the story, and particularly why I don't believe it, is that he only reached the river when he escapes and loses his local guard.
See, bad boy.
Sure.
Main character.
Like, this is so, it's given like old cowboy western. Yeah. With nothing but my horse and my compass, I came upon the banks of the famed River Niger. Anyways.
This is Indiana Jones. Like, what was happening here?
He reaches the River Niger, becoming the first documented European to do so. He followed the river downward.
Took selfies.
And then after about 80 miles, he returns back. Now, it says that when he was returning back, he felt ill.
Mosquitoes.
And he was ill for 7 months.
Yeah. Anytime I see mosquitoes, I've been like, I used to hate them so much as a kid. And now I see them and I'm like, you kept those motherfuckers out. I respect that.
Okay. He was ill for 7 months. He says, like, a stranger nursed him back to health.
Oh, my God.
A local nursed him back to health. Honestly, this is the best of best westerns. And then he eventually...
A local shaman found him.
He eventually goes back to Pisania, which is a British outpost, which, like, why is the name Pisania? Anyways. And then from there, he gets on a slave ship bound for Charleston because he couldn't book passage directly back to England. When he was on the slave ship, it says that he had, by that point in time, because this has now been like 2 years plus, he had learned the Mandinka language and he served as a doctor to the slaves, many of who died on route. At least he served as a doctor, according to him. According to the records, he served as a doctor.
Also, he wasn't qualified as a doctor.
He went to, no, he did. He went to medical
school. Did he finish?
Medical school in Edinburgh, I think so. Like, you know, those days, like, he studied medicine and botany, probably, like, and then apprenticed. But also, like, I mean, a lot of slaves died during the passage because of, slavery, the transatlantic slave trade and, like, the inhumanity of it is so extreme. It's so extreme. It makes me like want to vomit and cry and throw up sometimes when I think about it. He makes it back to England and people have thought this man was dead for years. So it's like a lot of noise that he's like, not only did I make it back, I reached the River Niger. I've seen the mountain ranges of Africa. I met the locals. I learned the language. I met this, and this. I had so many experiences. I've mapped it out for you. And
he came back with cornrows.
He came back with cornrows and a prison tat. One with the people now. And he detailed his narrative in a book called Travels in the Interior of Africa. Now, so it's been in this book, a part of his book, he talks about, like, when I say he wasn't racist, he was just definitely he's not like that guy.
He didn't think we were less than.
Who's that guy that wrote like Darkness or whatever? Do you know what I'm talking about? That very famous white explorer that came out like Darkness of Africa, whatever. Oh man, I feel like somebody who's listening to this podcast knows exactly who I'm talking about and will let me know. But okay, so this is a quote from his book. Whatever difference there is between the Negro and European in the conformation of the nose and the color of the skin, there is none in the genuine sympathies and characteristic feelings of our common nature.
The person you're talking about, was it?
Conrad.
Henry Morton Stanley?
No.
Is it Conrad?
Joseph Conrad. Right. Please, can you find out the name of this book for me? Henry Morton Stanley. What did Henry Morton Stanley write? But Joseph Conrad, I'm pretty sure that came to me when you said, is it?
Heart of Darkness.
Heart of Darkness, right. Yes. So when was Heart of...
1899. It was a novella.
Yeah. Okay. So Heart of Darkness is like this book. It's famed for, you know, just the barbaric ways it describes Africans and like African tribes and just, you know, all these like very horrible racist tropes. Mm-hmm. Heart of Darkness was a very popular book. I don't know if it was made into a movie or whatever, but this even comes after Joseph Conrad's writing. But is this idea of, not Joseph Conrad, it comes after Mungo Park's writing. Mm-hmm. But Mungo Park's writing was seen as being more scientific than like colored, like it's not like, oh, with their wide noses and the da 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 and their back. It's just very straight up, like, they're people, we're people. Another excerpt from his book is that he ran into slaves, and it says that the slaves were very inquisitive and they viewed him with looks of horror because, and they repeatedly asked if my countrymen were cannibals because they were desirous to know what became of slaves after they crossed the salt water.
Mm.
I told them that they were employed in cultivating the land, but they would not believe me. And one of them put his hand upon the ground and said with great simplicity, have you really got such ground as this to set your foot upon? A deeply rooted idea that the whites purchased Negroes for the purpose of devouring them or of selling them to others that they may be devoured thereafter, naturally makes slaves contemplate a journey towards the coast with great terror.
No.
Now, I definitely, like, it's so weird. It's so interesting that he used the word devour.
Because that's what really happened.
That's what really happened to slaves. Yeah. They did devour Africa. It's like, you literally used, it's so crazy that, like, it was cheaper for them to work them to death and replace them with a new human being than to, like, keep them alive because old slaves can't do as much work. So, like, they literally were trying to kill. This is, slavery wasn't,
they were consumed, essentially.
They were devoured. They were consumed. Just not even, not in the way that they thought, in a much worse way.
A slow death.
A very slow, painful death. His book became a bestseller, even though it did include the mountains of Kong. King Kong.
Jesus.
Between his, so what was the thing? Yeah, he wasn't racist, at least not for a man of his time. He didn't discover the River Niger because, duh. Was he the first white man to reach the River Niger? Sorry, first European to reach the River Niger? Yeah, possibly. He goes back, he becomes super famous, and he decides to have a second expedition because he wants to find the source of the River Niger, but he also wants to, like, prove this theory about River Niger and River Congo meeting.
Mm.
In between his first expedition and his second expedition, he marries the daughter of his, like, the guy he was an apprentice for. Man, do you know how blown he has to be? Like, you go, they think you're dead, you come back a cowboy and you marry your boss's daughter. That guy blew, man. Plus, he has his inheritance. Now, and he has some prison tats and cornrows.
Yeah.
He can speak the Mandinga language. I wonder how good he is. Now, that guy came back fresh to death. So he married his boss's daughter. And then, I guess, like, didn't really know what much else to do than to go back and explore the second time. The second time he explored, Sha, he bemed.
Yes.
He bemed. He died.
And this leads to the final truth?
Yes.
Where did he die?
Honestly, modern day Nigeria.
Yeah, but you remember you said, did he die?
He died on the River Niger.
He died on the River Niger?
He did die on the River Niger. So there's, like, two different versions of this that I've seen. The most popular version is that he goes back, he comes back to find the mouth of the River Niger, the source of the River Niger.
I thought you were going to say he came back to find the mountains of Kong gone. And he was telling his friends, I swear, what did you just say?
Like, not this, he didn't think I, like, saw Olumo Rock. I was like, it spread across. No. So it says, so basically, he comes back, he dies, and the British government are like, how did he die? So they ask this guy, Isaaco, who is the guide who took him to the river in the first place, to go and, like, investigate and find out, like, how he died. So his second expedition is, like, is a bigger expedition. Yeah, so he comes back and he is like, you know what, I'm going back to prove my theories right.
That River Niger meets River Congo.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay.
So, first of all, like, a lot of them were just dying of dysentery, fever, probably, like, malaria.
Mm-hmm.
There were 35 pirates, 2 seamen, a Lieutenant Martin, a British a fellow Scotsman or something. Like, anyways, there was just a whole bunch of them, and they set out on this journey, and quite a few of them were like dying. At some point in time, one of them goes mad. One of the three European soldiers goes mad. They have their guide. They have three slaves. The Isaaco, like, who was like a guide in also the previous journey, he gave him letters to take back to send home. And like, he'll continue with the rest of the party and the guides. Now, the idea is that, like, by this point in time, like, they were becoming like kind of really paranoid and mad. Like, they had fever and dysentery and whatever. And so one version of the story says that as they were going down the river, they would just literally think everybody in another canoe was an op and would shoot on them. Like, they were just like spraying guys. So one version of this story is this, that there a lot of the Europeans were like sick, had fever, they were paranoid and angry and frustrated on their journey, and like, they were often just opening fire on people. They were doing drive-by shooting on canoe, basically.
On natives.
And that because of this behavior of Mungo Park and his crew, the people were yarning each other that there's a bunch of crazy white guys who are just killing broads up and down the river. Like, the gist had flown. The gist was past them. Does that make sense? Like, people were letting people know that there's some crazy white guys on this river just killing people for no reason. And so by the time they got to a certain area in Nigeria, modern day Nigeria, I think like north, what would be northeast Nigeria? Yeah, that one of the like Hausa chiefs, kings, rulers, whatever. So I was like, oh, those are those bandits that have been literally disturbing our peace.
Yeah.
And so before they even come near the shore, they open fire on them.
Guns or arrows?
Arrows.
Ooh, nice.
And they're getting marked. Apparently Mungo Park jumps in the water to avoid the arrow, dies. Like, so they all die.
Okay.
The other version of this story, the version that's on Wikipedia, but like, the thing about it is, and I'm not going to lie to you guys, I was looking for the original source, which is Isaaco's account of what had happened, because every story quotes his account, because he's the one who did the investigation, right? But the story on Wikipedia seems to be the story that the British sold, rather than like the story that is on the actual account. But I couldn't find the actual account, and then where I did know it was sourced, I was just not going to pay £20 for that book. I'm so sorry, y'all. You can't go buy it. It's called Mungo Park's Ghost. But I was listening to a BBC podcast on it, and the guy quotes the actual thing, and he was like, his account is that Mungo Park and his goons were shooting up the place, so they got
okay.
The version on Wikipedia and like the official version from the British is that Mungo Park did not pay a chief the right dues. So he got like, he was like passing through and he didn't pay a chief dues, and so then they killed them.
Right.
I tend to not think that that's the case, because you know why? I'm from a low trust society. I just don't trust.
Yeah.
But one thing about it is that like, I don't want to say like he was like moronic because he was shooting up the place, but that does sound moronic. But again, like, I don't know, maybe this guy had malaria in his brain. What can you say? A lot of these guys would lose their minds on this journey. The book Mungo Park Ghost and the podcast, if you listen to BBC, I think it's History Extra. I listened to a few podcasts on this, but the guy basically talks about how they even had ramifications for later expeditions.
Right.
Like, Mungo Park like made people think that these guys coming down are crazy. So like,
they came in with like a violent temperament.
Yeah. So like, they expected everybody else to come in with a violent temperament. The book Mungo Park's Ghost talks a bit about Mungo Park, but it's mostly about the expeditions that come after, including like one expedition to see if River Niger actually met River Congo. And
what's their business?
Trade route. Like, bro, their business is exactly what they're doing now.
Slave trade and
like
extraction of resources,
right? It's just about extraction of resources. Like, one thing they have been is consistent.
And I like how they always just historically framed it as curiosity.
Yeah, or like fun or good for you. No. It's extraction of resources. And I think this industrialized extraction of resources, even down to what we're seeing now with Sudan, with Congo, with the DRC, even with Northern Nigeria, with even that you have Chinese people being arrested in Kwara State for illegal mining in Nigeria today. We must think about the extraction of resources is literally weakening environment, our people, our economy, and our psyche.
And we get nothing back in return,
bro. Not even bar.
Like
there's no. It's neo-colonialism. It's neo-slavery. It's actually insane.
Like these people are even opening stores and refusing to let Nigerians enter. Like it's so actually
that story was a bit funny because I looked into it and I just stopped because
I saw the video of people trying to enter. Did you see that?
I didn't, but I think it's on consulate grounds.
It wasn't consulate.
No, or it's part of the Chinese Chamber of Commerce. So maybe you definitely cannot be allowed to stop Nigerians from entering anywhere,
yeah.
But you can charge in UN.
No, okay, so the video I saw.
They're not letting Nigerians enter.
It was too, no. So basically some Abuja people had heard about it. So they were like, there's no way.
Yeah.
And then they went there and they talked to the security and security is like, oh yeah, it's a rule and he'd lose his job. And he was very calm. He wasn't even trying to fight them. He was just like, yeah, it's just what he was told. Like he's not allowed to let Nigerians enter there.
It's really insane.
Yeah. And obviously like there's no way to verify. There's no process of verifying where you're from or your intentions. It's just, if you don't look Asian, you can't enter. Do you get? So I think that in itself is insanely problematic.
It's beyond problematic. It's also illegal.
It's illegal. It's in our country.
I mean, there's a school, there's like an Indian school somewhere in Lagos, Indian language school, that said that Nigerian students are not allowed. I mean, we're dealing with a lot. But yes, Mungo Park did not discover the River Niger. If I've told you anything today, it's that he did not discover the River Niger, which seems obvious. The River Niger was not only in existence, there were trade routes, there were trading posts, they were empires, kingdoms, languages, people, and like international too. Like the very important thing for this, my most important takeaway from reading all these things is that we had international relations, diplomatic relations with other nations. I mean, we weren't a country then, so the different trading places were different nations to themselves anyways. But you also had like people coming in from the Middle East and Northern Africa. Like we had like the world was connected, even the Orient, especially the Orient towards through East Africa. Like we were all connected with each other. The whites were just not in the know.
Yeah. And also there's
so crazy for them to be centered in our history. Is like, you guys were even part of world history.
Yeah. And it's there's probably a good reason why. Like I feel like a lot of other foreign bodies would come in and they would find ways to extract value. But the European version of that was so rooted in
exploitation.
It just destroyed the entire continent. Like, we've been trading with Arabs for centuries.
I mean, they have their own.
Yeah, no, they had their own stuff.
But still, like, you're right. Yeah. Like, the level of, like,
it was just industrialized.
Yeah. I'm about to go and talk on Arise right now and interview, like, I think the German chancellor. He wants to talk about climate change.
Sounds fun.
It's like, we're suffering more.
Yeah.
You are doing more. I don't like, don't
come Germany is like this. Germany is like a massive, you know, like they produce a lot of cars and those factories are in Western/Eastern Europe, although they started to move some of them to China. But yeah, I mean, good luck with that. Enjoy. Another thing is, I wanted to find out, I was curious, did Mungo Park's son learn from his father's mistakes and just stay home, you know, become a doctor?
No, I think he died in India or something.
Wow.
So he wanted to go and explore.
Okay, well, yeah, almost well, that ends well.
So that's another Mungo Park. I don't think
he had a child. Was that the end?
So I think that's the end of the Mungos.
The Mungos.
Well, thank you guys for working with us, for listening to us, for learning with us. Remember, you can, if you have the confidence of a mediocre white man,
you can do anything you want in life.
You can go and discover the Great Wall of China tomorrow. you can discover the Eiffel Tower, bro. I'm about to discover Minnesota.
Okay. All right, well.
And I'll put my name in the annals of history.
Okay. That's not true.
Annals?
Annals is right.
Anal.
Yes. I don't know. The second option is just wild. I just said it like that.
Happy whatever day this comes out. Happy week. Have a good life. We love you guys. We miss you guys. We're trying our absolute best.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you think we can try harder?
I think you need to open a fund so you can buy books, buy resources, and just keep the podcast running, because people really enjoy it. And I think they want to support in any way. So just open like a fund. Look, if you have like a spare 200K, 200 Naira, anything in between, you know.
Yeah, because I actually do buy.
Yeah,
I buy books to come and talk to you guys about certain things so that you don't have to condense a large amount of information.
Yeah,
but yeah. Forex, man.
We don't like to use Wikipedia because they mishand there a lot.
They do. Yeah. You know, that's one of my agendas. We should call this, we can rename this podcast Wikipedia Mishands. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. See you later.
Westie, don't try to test me. It's gonna get messy. It's gonna get messy. Just bless me. Bless me. It's your bestie, Miss Westie. Just tryna bless me. Just bless me. Bless me. Oh.